The Right to Peaceably Assemble, July 16, 2021, by Justice Anna Vaughn writes, Big Lake, Alaska. Please note the word peaceably. This is part of our long list of constitutional guarantees, provided that we are adopting our birthright political status as Americans and are owed constitutional guarantees to begin with. Recent events in Michigan and Texas have revealed weak spots in people's understanding of the constitutions and the process of assembling in our individual state assemblies, bearing in mind that this is the first time this has been done in 160 years, so we are doing this without the benefit of anyone left to guide us. We know that there are three summoning authorities possible. The President of the United States of America can call the states into session, and he is meant to be assisted in this by the pre-existing state assemblies and by the officers of the Federal Republic, but we haven't elected a President of the United States of America in 160 years, and the Federal Republic has been dormant almost as long, and all the members of the old state assemblies have passed on. This was the method used in times of emergency, but as the office hasn't been filled and the Federal Republic is dormant, it's not available to us now. The states can call themselves into session with a quorum of nine member states, but this presents a chicken or egg scenario. You have to have active state assemblies in at least 9 states to do it, and all the original state assemblies, except for Texas, had ceased to operate. This was the method used when there was business to be done, and the states roused themselves to do it. That option was also foreclosed. Finally, the head of state, the owner and keeper of the great seals, can call the states into session. This option was never used until now, and was left as a fail-safe should the more normal processes fail. As the head of state is hereditary, it was hoped that if elected offices failed, there would still be someone to call the states into session. Please note that in 2 of 3 options, the summoning authorities are federation officers, not federal officers. The office of the President of the United States of America is a federation office that isn't part of the federal government. He can call upon the Federal Republic administration to assist him when the Federal Republic is operational, but it is a federation responsibility. Ditto when the head of state calls for the action, he is acting as a federation officer and isn't part of the federal government. The most normal course once the state assemblies are organized and fully seated is for them to conduct business by quorum and for them to call themselves back into session as needed. The summoning authority bears the responsibility for the action, and must do their level best to make sure that each state assembly is composed of properly declared and qualified individuals, that each state assembly is properly structured and functioning with a general assembly, international business assembly, public courts, and militia, and that everyone is made aware of their rights, duties, and responsibilities, whereupon the state assembly is deemed to be fully seated. This we are endeavoring to accomplish, and as it hasn't happened in 160 years, we have started from scratch. One of the most important points to take in is that absent active state assemblies competent to raise a quorum, the responsibility to call the states into session lies with that portion of the American government known as the Federation. The federal government is named after the Federation. The Federation is a private and unincorporated American holding company devoted to public service. Its precious cargo, what it holds, are all the mutually held powers of the combined states in international and global jurisdictions. This has always been the role of the Federation since 1776. 11 years later, some of the mutually held powers were delegated to three federal subcontractors and the familiar federal constitutions came into play, allowing the federal subcontractors to do specific work for the Federation. The Federation is thus the delegator of all delegated powers of the federal government, the principal holding those powers, and the actual employer of the federal subcontractors that make up the federal government. The federal constitutions are thus power-sharing agreements between the Federation and the federal subcontractors. When any of the federal subcontractors are unable to perform or cease to function, the delegated powers they exercised revert automatically to the delegator of those powers. Now that you know what the Federation is, You can see why it is central to the effort to enforce the constitutions, why it has the authority and responsibility to bring the states into session to conduct business related to this effort, and why the assembling process is being done under the oversight of the Federation. One of the other major points that has come into sharp focus is that our states are guaranteed the right to assemble, but they must do so in a peaceable manner. It has to be understood that our states are being assembled for lawful and peaceful purposes, or the guarantee disappears. If you attack the federal subcontractors and their citizenry, they are free to attack you in return, but so long as you stay the course and enforce upon them in a lawful manner, they have no recourse but to obey their contracts and honor their employer's wishes. Recently, attempts were made to use our peaceable assemblies as storefronts to promote the establishment of an illegal armed force. This would have destroyed our guarantee to assemble and would have left everyone involved open to attack. There have also been attempts to commandeer our assemblies and redefine them as corporate structures with executive powers and familiar corporate hierarchical structures, but this is not the form of the American government. Assembly chairmen are not CEOs brandishing executive power. Chairmen are spokespersons. Similarly, recorders are not officers of an assembly. They are employees of their assembly, paid or not. We understand that people are familiar with corporations and have lived their lives with corporations running their businesses and schools and other institutions, but the plain fact is that our American government is not a corporation, doesn't function as a corporation, and doesn't harbor the same kind of organizational structure, compartmentalization, or hierarchy. Our assemblies are supposed to be organized by committee. That's why assemblymen are called committeemen in many early documents. The General Assembly is a standing committee of the whole. The International Business Assembly and General Assembly are both special standing committees. The State Assembly Militia is a special purpose committee. Our state assemblies can establish lots of other committees in addition to these four to get business done, but aside from the subject matter that each committee is responsible for, they have no special authority, one over the other. The State General Assembly is responsible for addressing questions that arise within the borders of the state. The International Business Assembly is responsible for questions involving interstate business and diplomacy. The General Assembly addresses issues related to the public courts. The State Assembly Militia deals with issues of defense and, to an extent, apprehension of criminals, and natural disaster response within the borders of the state. There have been unscrupulous attempts to misdirect our state militias and to create a unified and national armed force using state militias to do it. This cannot be permitted. Any such action would violate the principle of peaceable assembly, extend militia powers beyond state borders, and provide an excuse for federal agencies to attack our people, claim that we are insurrectionists, deny our right to assemble, and collapse our initiative to enforce the constitutions. The same people who have used the Roman Catholic Church and the United Nations as storefronts for their own evil agendas, have tried to use our state assemblies in a similar manner. We have the absolute right to assemble and conduct our own business, so long as we do it as Americans and act in an aboveboard, peaceable, and lawful manner. We must stand vigilant against being misled by people acting with guile to paint us as insurrectionists, and equally stand guard against people acting in ignorance. There is too much at stake to do otherwise. A note to assembly coordinators: if you find individuals who are abnormally resistant to operating in a committee-based organization and who persist in demanding and seeking a corporate-style structure even after this difference has been explained to them, please give them the following choices. You can stay and change your assumptions and learn to work within the 1. Committee structure of your state assembly and be recognized as an American with all the rights and responsibilities you are heir to. You can join the local district assembly, adopt territorial U.S. citizenship. 2. And act as an indentured servant and subject of the Queen, responsible for obeying several million statutory laws and all that entails. You can join the nearest municipal district assembly, be recognized as a 3. Municipal citizens of the United States, and adopt the status of a slave owned by the Roman Pontiff, responsible for all the debts of the United States Incorporated, and obligated to obey all the municipal codes and regulations. If they want a hierarchy to stand above them and micromanage everything for them and tell them what to do every moment of every day, then clearly, the challenge of self-government is not for them. They can have a comfortingly familiar nanny state with take-charge corporate officials in place, at the price of admitting that they are British subjects or Papist subjects, knowingly and willingly giving up their more challenging American birthright. See this article and over 3,200 others on Anavon Wright's website. Support Anna's work using PayPal donation. Remedy. Find out how to stop the plunder, robbery, and piracy. If you really are serious about knowing how to restore the Republic and your freedom, you need to put some effort into knowing how our freedoms are being robbed from us by fraud, lack of full disclosure, deception, threat, duress, coercion, and intimidation every day of our lives and have been for over 100 years by the criminals who have hijacked our government, wealth, and heritage for their own gain and evil intentions. Are you really required to file a 1040 income tax form with the IRS? Are you really required to obey draconian codes and statutes issued by the so-called federal government? At Anavon Wright's website you will learn precisely how Americans have been press-ganged into the foreign international jurisdiction of the sea and have as a result been attached, attacked, and deprived of their rights and property under conditions of fraud, semantic deceit, and non-disclosure. At the American States Assembly you will learn the lawful remedies for these problems and crimes committed against Americans. Remember, there is no statute of limitations against the crime of fraud, and that fraud destroys any contract that it touches.